Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. God's word for our consideration for today comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." This is the word of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from the fount of all wisdom, the Lord your God. Amen. Every generation has its geniuses, scientific geniuses like Albert Einstein and Marie Curie, artistic geniuses like Da Vinci and Van Gogh, musical geniuses like Bach and Mozart and Beethoven. Geniuses tend to leave a mark, not just on their own generation, but on all those who come after them. Solomon is no different. Even today, Solomon is considered by many to be a genius. The Bible tells us that he's as wise as any mere mortal who has ever walked the face of the earth. But today, in our reading from 1 Kings, we had the opportunity to peek behind the genius. We get to see how a man was gifted such wisdom, to see that Solomon wasn't always so wise, that God gifted it to him. When Solomon became king of Israel, he did something that had never been done in Israel's history. He succeeded his father. Now, we may take that for granted, but Solomon didn't. He recognized what a blessing this was, but that didn't mean he didn't have troubles when he became king. About a decade before he became king, Solomon watched as his half-brother, Absalom, stole the hearts of the people of Israel and tried to steal the throne of his father, David. Then, as David was about to die, Absalom's younger brother, Adonijah, tried to make himself king, too. But David kept his promise to make Solomon king. Eventually, after some skirmishes and power struggles, the kingdom of Israel was established in Solomon's hands. Yet, even with things relatively ironed out at home, Solomon was still anxious about the responsibilities of being Israel's king. We see his fear and his insecurities when he makes an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and marries Pharaoh's daughter. Of course, if you know anything else about the life of Solomon, you know this wouldn't be the last time he would marry a foreign princess. Still, Solomon demonstrated his love for the Lord by following his father David's instructions carefully. Except that he continued to offer sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. You see, Solomon had not yet built the temple, but he had little issue with stealing from pagan worship practices. At Gibeon, the most important of the high places, Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings. So we see that early on in his reign, Solomon is struggling. In some areas, he's trying to do the right thing, following the advice of his faithful father David and entrusting in the Lord. But in some other ways, he's thinking and acting as if the Lord isn't his God, as if the Lord was only David's mighty fortress. It's with this as the backdrop that the Lord did something for Solomon that he never did for Solomon's father, David. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and made him an unthinkable offer. He said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Can you imagine what would be rolling through your mind at a moment like this? Though Solomon describes himself as only a little child, he makes a very thoughtful and mature request. He says, "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." Despite all the struggles that were going on in Solomon's heart and life, in this pivotal moment, he gives a great answer to God's offer. And the Lord was pleased, we're told. The Lord blessed Solomon with a wise and discerning heart. And in the verses that follow our text for today, we're told that he was also blessed with wealth and honor. And if he was as faithful as his father David, he would also receive a long life. God blessed Solomon with so many things. He had no equal among the kings during his lifetime. God gave Solomon wisdom, a very great insight, an unrivaled aptitude when it came to things like poetry and proverbs and plant life. Solomon recognized incredible things about the animal kingdom and the fears and insecurities, the hopes and dreams and weaknesses of mankind. And other people saw this. They recognized Solomon's genius. People came from all nations just to listen to his wisdom. Wisdom that was a gift from God. So we might wonder, what exactly is this wisdom? Well, I'm glad that you're curious too. What Solomon asks for, quite literally, is a heart that listens well. He isn't asking God for a brilliant encyclopedic mind, but for a heart that humbly hears and does what God desires. Solomon isn't seeking to be the one with all the deep thoughts, the witty quips, the sage advice. He's asking God to make him someone who listens well, who thinks deeply about what he's heard, and then strives to put it into practice so that he can meet the demands of his vocation as king. And really, isn't that something that we all want? To listen well? That doesn't seem like it should be that hard. It shouldn't be that far out of our reach. But it turns out it's very difficult for each one of us. I mean, look at our lives. Jesus says that a person shouldn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 4, he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8. God tells us twice that we shouldn't live on material things, but rely on spiritual things, the word of God. Do you hear Jesus? Have you really thought about what he's saying? Have you really processed it? See, God knows that you need material things. He knows you get hungry, you need clothes, you need a place to sleep. And think about how abundantly God has provided all of those things throughout your life. There's so many days where you have had more than enough to eat. And maybe even found yourself throwing out perfectly good food. There have been many, many days where you've had more choices in your closet than you could count. There have been many, many nights where you have had a place to rest your head that Solomon would be envious of. But Jesus wants to open your eyes to see that you can have all of your needs met and more. But if you don't have the Word of God, you've got nothing. Your life is fruitless, unproductive, meaningless, as Solomon would say later on in his life. You see, without the Word of God, we don't know who we really are, where we're really headed, or what God really says about us. The Word of God is powerful, it's effective, it protects and prospers our souls, it fends off the fiendish foe, it directs our lives, it is a light for our path. But so often we choose to walk in relative darkness. We put our trust in our skills and our accomplishments, we treasure our careers, our savings, and our connections more than we do the very words of God. Look at your priorities, how you really live. Can you really claim to listen well? How often have you dragged yourself to work, even when you weren't feeling up to it? You say, well, of course, I had to, right? had to put food on the table. Yet how often didn't you accept flimsy excuses and put the very words of God in the back burner? Think about this. How different would your devotional life, your worship attendance have been if it were your career? How often did you scrimp and save for some big goals? Maybe it was to buy a house. And you got there by God's grace. He blessed you with a place to rest your head. But you still didn't trust that same grace to enable you to abound in generosity towards God's house or advancing God's kingdom. Do you listen well? How many times have you seen someone struggling with sin and not said or did anything? They boasted about how they were cutting corners at work. They complained about how they couldn't stay in their marriage any longer. They talked to you about how they stopped going to church because it was just full of hypocrites, and you just sat there. You had wisdom to share with them, but you ignored their cry for help. Your silence legitimized their sin. Turns out it's really hard for us to listen and live well. Because far too often we tackle tough problems with only our own talents and tenacity. We leave the truths of God's word on the shelf. We foolishly try and fend off spiritual attacks with our secular skills, and then we're surprised when we're overwhelmed and frightened. We say we hear the word of God, but what we do tells a different story. Despite all God has done for us, we still try and do things our own way and don't listen to him very well. Unfortunately, that's not just true of you and me. That's the life of Solomon as well. Even though God blessed Solomon with wisdom and wealth, with honor, a heart for justice, and a sharp mind, Solomon still struggled. When people came to him as the king with their problems, he was wise and insightful and faithful and righteous. But when it came to his own personal life, Solomon was still a mess. I told you, Pharaoh's daughter wasn't the only foreign princess Solomon married. Despite God's warnings to the Israelites that they must not intermarry with idolatrous nations because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods, Solomon loved many foreign women. He married 700 royal women, and God tells us that his wives led him astray. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as his father's heart had been. And Solomon, despite all God had gifted him, all the wisdom and wealth and honor, the long life, did what foolish geniuses do. He impacted everybody after him. Because of Solomon's idolatry, the nation of Israel was torn in two. And both Judah and Israel would struggle with idolatry and have kings who followed in the path of Solomon, doing evil in the Lord's eyes. See, even though Solomon was a good king, he was still sinful. Even blessed with God's unrivaled gift of wisdom, Solomon still struggled to listen and live according to God's word. Just like his father David did. See, that's why God promised to send a greater son of David to do what Solomon could not do. Jesus, the perfect son of David, listened and lived perfectly. All the things that Solomon hoped to be and do, Jesus actually did. Jesus listened well to the word of God and then followed it perfectly. He showed his love for the Lord by walking perfectly according to his father's will, with no exceptions. Jesus didn't take any shortcuts. There were no high places, no blind eyes, no deaf ears. No, Jesus thought and spoke and acted and reacted exactly as his father wanted. He was righteous and faithful in every way. He was honest and humble, selfless, and yet still sanctified, set apart for the Lord as the spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Because that was the mission the Father gave to his Son. See, the Lord Almighty didn't send Jesus, this Son of David, into the world to show off his wisdom or build an impressive temple. No, Jesus came into this world to be the temple, the priest, and the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus came to be the spiritual bridge that bad listeners like you and me and Solomon desperately need. He rejected sin and all its foolishness so that we might be credited with his righteousness and wisdom. He died so that we might no longer be slaves to sin. And God accomplished this in a way that seems very foolish to our way of thinking. God demonstrated his immense power and wisdom by being crucified for his enemies, for us and for our sins, for our salvation. This is the power and wisdom of God. Christ crucified for us is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Jesus makes us wise because he is working in our hearts to make us better listeners. So listen well. Be wise. Listen well to what God had to say about David. It was Solomon who said here that God was kind to David because he was faithful, righteous, and upright in heart. It seems that oftentimes sons have a skewed view of their fathers. Either too harsh or too kind. Here's an example of sons exaggerating their dad's strengths and overlooking their faults. God wasn't kind to David because David was good. David was bad, sinful. David was married to Solomon's mom, Bathsheba, because he foolishly abused his kingly power, compelled her to come to his palace, and then ordered the assassination of her husband, Uriah. David was not good. But God considered David faithful. God considered David righteous. God considered David upright in heart because God opened David's ears. Because God worked in David's heart. Because God called and moved David to repentance through another of his servants, the prophet Nathan. See, nobody's righteous on their own. Nobody is faithful all the time. Our hearts are twisted by nature, not upright. We are foolish until God does something incredible and makes us wise. When God blesses us with real wisdom, a heart that listens to his rebukes, a heart that seeks his forgiveness, a heart that craves to be righteous and faithful, God makes fools like us wise. That's what he did for David. That's why David was considered righteous and upright and faithful. And eventually, God seemed to do that for Solomon too. At the end of Solomon's life, he did some deep self-reflecting and recognized all the ways that he had gone wrong. Actually, that's being too kind. God did that for Solomon too. Solomon had lived a life that was full of good things. He denied himself nothing and no one, and yet he came to see how empty his life was without God. Everything that he had done and earned was destined to be given to another. And at first he was depressed by that. But he didn't stay that way. See, here's what Solomon concluded in the book of Ecclesiastes. As he wrote to the next generation, he said, "Remember your Creator. Fear God and keep his commandments. Listen well, because only God can give you a wise heart." And he has. God has blessed you with a wise heart. He has given you his God-breathed word to teach you, to rebuke you, to correct you, and to train you in righteousness so that you might be thoroughly equipped for the tasks before you. And most importantly, to make you wise for salvation. And you are. Because of what Jesus has done for you. You are because God has fostered faith in you. You are because God has done something incredible. God has made you wise. God considers you faithful, righteous, and upright in heart. God looks at you and sees his wise child. Because you are wise for salvation, and that is far better than being considered a genius by the world. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly sermon podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and it's been a privilege to proclaim God's wisdom to you. It's my prayer that God continues to work powerfully in your heart, your mind, and your ears so that you might listen and live well. If you'd like to learn more about what it is that we believe and teach here at River of Life, to hear the Word of God, which is able to make you wise for salvation, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to gather together in God's house and be strengthened by God's Word and sacraments. There you'll find opportunities to connect with fellow Christians and opportunities to put your faith into practice, to live and listen well. May God continue to bless and keep you.